everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Brian Beeler. With me today, as usual, Kevin, the lab master slash destroyer.
Hello.
And all the way from the Pac Northwest, Tom, who incidentally failed out of massage therapy school. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, how's everything going there in the Queen City?
Everything is just fine. Adam is out soaking up the sun in California on the IT press tour, finishing what is probably a grueling day five. As I understand it, he's currently in a van, not head covered like usual, but on his way to Scale Computing to see what they're up to. We've got a number of updates to get to. Let's not waste any time. The big news. Do we have a sound effect for that? Like, did it?
No, I can do like...
All right, that must have been the sound effect. We have a cowboy hat update. I know you have all been breathlessly anticipating this update since I've been complaining about it for over 5 weeks, single-handedly damaging Dell status in the enterprise IT world as they've not fulfilled this very special cowboy hat order. But it is here. It's in a box. It's on the floor. Kevin wanted to open it yesterday when it came, but I thought, what better than for radio to do a visual reveal of the cowboy hat?
What if it's full disappointment, like it's not the cowboy hat?
Well, it could be. It could be nothing in the box. We don't know for sure. Kevin, take over for one moment. Oh, you're going to open it?
Yeah, I'll open it.
All right, Kevin's going to open it. I've handed Kevin the scissors. He's approaching the box. I hope he didn't just slice through the hat. The box is opening. Kevin's struggling with the tape.
Didn't Saturday Night Live have a sketch about something in a box, too?
Oh, there it is. Yeah, they did. This is interesting packaging. The hat is somewhat... It's in a cardboard container that's been removed, okay? And?
It's a hat.
Oh my gosh, I am going to be the fanciest cowboy around. And? Kevin, first review.
It looks pretty nice. It's very gray like your hair.
That was rude. If you'll remember, our Reddit guys told us that the gray cowboy hat was for fancy cowboys. And Oh, Kevin's taking a photo. Going to take the photo?
Yes.
I am indeed a fancy cowboy now, and I don't think everyone quite appreciates the significance of the...
It is hitting your mic.
It's hitting the mic stand. I've got to get used to the physical space adjustments. My confidence right now, I've got to say, is through the roof. I feel like I've accepted an Academy Award. I want to thank all the people at Dell. I want to thank the shippers of the hat. Who made the hat? We should probably... pitch them a little plug. But I don't think everyone fully understands what this hat could do for me. Tom, you're a married man.
Is that your first cowboy hat?
You could stand in a typhoon with a torrential downpour and it would direct the water away from your head.
You guys are all missing some very important things. I've been married 21 years. Tom, how long have you been married?
35 or 36.
Kevin?
I'm bad with math. 7 years?
All right. So here's the thing that Kevin doesn't understand, Tom, that perhaps you'll get. Sometimes after a couple decades, you need to spice things up in the relationship.
Stop it. Don't go there.
Ever since my wife found out about the cowboy hat, she was less impressed with being on the Alita Battle Angel set, which I did finish on my flight to Denver. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. And, would have respected being on the set much more had I watched it before being there, which would have been the intelligent thing. Be that as it may, there are times where spicing things up with a costume like a cowboy hat may be beneficial to your relationship. And I don't want, there may be kids listening, which they probably shouldn't be because we've declared this a not kid safe zone. I've just texted this photo that Kevin took of me to my wife. I'm going to read. She has already replied. No emojis. Wow. Make sure you bring that home this weekend so we can play cowboy. Now, this is what I'm saying, and this is what we're trying to bring to the people, is the cowboy hat is symbolic of so many things in enterprise IT, but Dell really helped spice things up with many of their products, and now they're going to help spice up something else. I think it best that we move on.
Yes, yes. Please, God, please.
Tom, I'll let you borrow it next time I see you. All right.
Appreciate that. Wait.
Yes.
I don't think so. I don't mow that side of the fence.
Yeah, probably hang on to that one, all right? Adam's not here, so I'm going to have to cover off on his news bit. A couple big things since the last podcast that we're working on and posted. We had a Homelab friend of ours, user Schwing, did a dive on pfSense, and that was one of the most popular articles of the last week or so. Tom, you've played around with that a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, in the past, I've definitely played around with it, really liked it. Just it's solid product, just kind of did what it said it was going to do. It was really easy to install. I installed it on a VM, but you can install it on routers. I think you can put it on just about anything. And is it owned by Netgate?
I couldn't tell you. I've lost track of that as these things move over time. But I know it's big in the Homelab community because the price is right at free, I believe, for the main license. And you can run it on an old tower or server or whatever you have going on and get a pretty remarkable set of features and a lovely GUI, which always makes me feel warm.
Yeah, definitely. Back in the days when I was using it as command line, but yeah, like I said, just real easy to set up and use. And yeah, let me check here. I thought you could use it on ARM processors as well.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
The other big thing was some news from Schneider around water-cool prepped racks, which is kind of interesting. We've seen that a lot. And in fact, this week, Supermicro put out their green data center report that talks about the awareness of the impact of a green data center on the environment and some of the components you select and how to be thoughtful there. Their findings were a little bit, well, I don't know if they're surprising, but most data centers really aren't considering their impact in terms of a green initiative. And that's part of the education I think that Supermicro is after, to let people know that there are other options, are better options. And Schneider with the same thing on the water cooling, making that a little more ubiquitous. Kevin, we've seen a bunch of different water cooling strategies. Lenovo had a couple, right?
Yeah, Lenovo, they're showing off both customized servers or purpose-built servers that brought water cooling into the chassis, as well as a more generic type of device where you can take an existing data center and then put on a rear door that cools right. The exhaust air. And it was surprisingly nice. I mean, you walked past it and it felt like room air temperature coming out the back when you open up the door and it's like a 120 degree blast.
So. High end radiator, more or less, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What we run a very green data center here. We open the window.
Yeah. And sometimes we've had literal bird shit on the wall when a bird flew in before we had screens up.
Yeah, one of the challenges of the open-air data center in Cincinnati, most people think it would be summer when it's 105 and humid in Cincinnati in August, but no, it's a chickadee that comes in and wreaks literal shit havoc throughout the data center.
But it's worked out pretty well. I mean, we've been, it's in heating mode right now, and our lab is the furnace.
Yeah, so even though we spend more on the electric on the, or our cost structure is pretty heavy on the electric, we don't have to run a heater in the winter, which is a little bit unique for a data center.
Yeah, it heats up 4,000 square feet of office
space. Indeed, it does. Tom,
how does the humidity affect your lab there? Is that an issue?
Early on, we thought it might be a problem since during summer, if we have a torrential downpour and then it turns into another hot day, we'll have all that steam off the parking lot and come in. It'll be like 70, 80% humidity up to 99, 100% humidity and then back down. And we thought there might be mold issues or mildew issues. We haven't run into anything. So it's been
not that we can see. It's probably just behind the drywall eating away slowly.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well though. We haven't noticed any odd issues with paint or cracking or anything like that. And we can throttle how much air from the lab goes into the rest of the building. So usually during those time periods, we isolate the lab a little bit so we're not drawing in that effectively water air into the rest of the building.
Yeah, the condensation on any of your computers, any of your infrastructure doesn't cause any issues.
No, we've never had that. I think you talking with the Dell guys, actually they've had some long-term studies on open air cooling, and as long as you have the equipment powered on, they have enough heat where the localized environment inside the chassis is a little bit lower humidity, and it's lower, you don't reach the dew point. And for areas where even if you're running like in near torrential downpour and you might hit water inside the chassis that doesn't short it out, your rust issues usually don't come into a problem until the equipment is well past its useful life expectancy.
Yeah, Dell's been running that data center out in their Round Rock parking lot for 7-8 years now, right? And
yeah.
And they've got the one section that's the open air deal that that they've been working on.
It's like a little hut with like a couple of basic paper media filters and nothing else.
Yeah, and they were doing that initially to prove the concept of their gear being ready for more hostile data center environments. They had several in other countries where there might be higher dust and other pollutants that would be getting into the data center. Anyway, Tom, you're working on doing some work in the PAC Northwest lab while we're on sort of the home lab concept. What are you working on out there in terms of infrastructure? I know Kevin's working on putting together a new server for you. What's the big need out your way?
I'm really looking at for a little 10 gig network in my lab. It seems like the price on the components has just dropped dramatically. I know our friend over at Serve the Home did a nice write-up on the Microtech 10 gig switch that is incredibly inexpensive, like $300-$400. And so I was thinking of picking up one of those, maybe a few X2 cards for it. They're a little bit older, but you can pick them up on eBay for like nothing. So kind of thinking about doing that over the Christmas break. You guys have any experience with that? Any thoughts on that?
Well, we run a slightly faster lab environment out in Cincinnati. So I mean, we're kind of, our slow speed's 100 gig. So we're a little bit above 10 gig at the moment. But so if I built you out a server where everything could stay inside of it, would you even need a switch?
Yeah, because I'd want to go to other servers. And I don't think ESX supports port to port. I think it has to be a switch network, I believe.
Ah, bummer. So what you're saying is even with infinity amounts of RAM inside a very high-end server, it still wouldn't be enough for you?
Ooh, maybe. Like how much RAM are we talking?
I could probably put up to, infinity for our lab, you're probably looking at half terabyte at the tops for what I could allocate, but it'd be pretty substantial.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah. So I could do everything within the server itself and not have to go outside. Yeah.
Yeah, and we have 2699 V4s in that server just in case you ran out of compute with your existing systems.
Yeah, that'd be great. Right now I got, a couple 610s or older ones. And I was actually kind of surprised I could update them to ESX 6.7. It isn't on their supported list, but they were in the ISO and was able to update it. So, but yeah, half a terabyte of RAM would be fantastic. I could probably get rid of two of them and just keep the one.
Wow, the consolidation message. Hey, by the way, I have another text regarding the cowboy hat. She says, "I'm being serious though. Bring it home." Yeah. We'll be bringing it home, all right. All right. Tom, you're infatuated with those Intel nukes. They've been a popular subject of yours in looking at thin clients, zero client software, other things that converters you can put on there. This week we saw dual announcements in kind of strange use cases. One is Zendata is launching one as a backup appliance, which it has a 2 terabyte SSD in it, which is more for operations, but it'll connect out to Sony Optical Media or LTO, or it looks like it may be a cloud gateway. The other one is Scale Computing has launched one of these as part of an edge cluster for their HCI solution, both of them really interesting in their own ways. What's your take on that, given your experience with the Intels?
You know, we did that write-up on the Scale-LeoStream combination, and I really liked their solution there. It was just small, compact, and I can see them, because not everyone needs, you know, 100 virtual desktops. You got a small office that, you know, 10, 20, and those little nukes, because they have up to, I think, 32 gig and maybe 64 gig of memory. I could definitely see those being a big win for those smaller deployments. And, you know, three of them stacked up, what you're talking, let's see, 12-inch cube. And that's really kind of a neat solution for those smaller ones. And, you know, Scale is self-managing, so you don't need anyone on site to do it. You know, one goes south, you just pull it out, pop in a new one.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what they do with storage, because I think the most those support are two disks, that you could get a lot of storage in two disks, I think.
Well, you can. We're going to have a briefing with Scale on this solution next week, and we'll report back on that. While we're on the talk of thin client and edge use cases, I know you've got a couple more reviews coming up. Another laptop. We talked about the HP last week. Tell us what you have going on out in the Pac Northwest lab for VDI and thin clients.
All right. Yeah. Got a couple more VDIs to take a look at. I got one from our friends over at iGel. Was really impressed with running iGel on one of those little nukes. It was just a Celeron-powered nuke, and it really performed well. So they send out the UD2XL11, which looks like what you'd imagine a thin client to look like, just kind of standard, sit on the side of the desk there. It does have an ARM processor in it, so I'm interested to see how the performance of it is going to do compared to when I ran iGel on that Celeron appliance. It has a 2 gig of RAM. It has a two display ports, so I'm not sure if it supports 4K on each one of those, but we can definitely push that out and see what it does with that.
Okay.
Or I also got a new Dell laptop form factor VDI client. It's definitely not as fancy as the HP one that we had in a couple of weeks ago. This is the Wyse 5470. Looks more like a Latitude style.
Right, workstation look to it.
Do you hear me? Do you hear the unwrapping there?
Yeah, I do. That's really exciting. That's
we have a lot of unboxing.
Yeah, that's almost as good on radio as revealing a freaking cowboy hat.
Yeah, and it just looks like it looks like a Latitude. So we'll get that one up and take a look at it. It has a VGI port on it, and it looks like a USB-C.
All right.
So maybe get one of those.
Incidentally, iGel reached out last week. They're doing an annual event in Nashville at the end of January, January 27 to 29, at the Gaylord Opryland in Nashville. Kevin's going to go hit that. Kevin, I don't know what's going on with Nashville, but they must have made a concerted effort to get IT trade shows in there. This will be, what, your fourth or
I think fifth? Yeah.
Fifth visit in like 18 months to Nashville.
And it's perfect. I can, even though I do miss hitting my status on Delta, I can drive.
Your silver status?
Hey,
who the hell
every
cares
little
about
bit,
silver status?
The 1.5x modifier in miles.
Yeah, how many upgrades did you get on that silver status this year?
I think one.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can drive down there. It's 4 hours away. I can leave effectively my house when I want to. And then if I need to, instead of trying to wait for the next flight out the next day, I can just drive home at night and be done.
When you call Delta, when you have a problem, your silver status must accelerate you in the queue to get support, right?
I think it has a 1x modifier on wait time.
A 1x, probably 2x.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus yours, where it's like, sir, how can we help you after like 2 minutes? And mine, it's like 45 minutes. Like, we can call you back when we're ready.
Yeah. 2 minutes is a little long, but yeah, there's a little bit of difference there when you earn those miles, right?
Wait, isn't Gus's Fried Chicken out of Nashville? Is that, we have that in Austin a while back, and I think it's, world famous fried chicken.
I'll tell you what, I had a really great fried chicken with, oh no, here it comes again. That company that starts with a K, it goes IO and then XIA.
Kyokushia.
Damn it. I had a lunch with the Kyokushia out in north of Denver, and man, I can't remember the name of the place. It was in a neighborhood and it had fantastic chicken with Nashville hot for an extra $1.50, which I strongly recommend.
What is Nashville Hot?
It's like makes it spicy.
Oh, okay.
You'll like it. But that was excellent. That was man, I don't have the
Oh.
name. The place was 105 West Emma Street in Lafayette. Fantastic.
Well, Lafayette, again, my stomping grounds. There used to be a bunch of good Italian places in Louisville, Lafayette. So, interesting. I was just in San Jose last week. And they got a Chick-fil-A right there at the airport.
That impresses you?
I like Chick-fil-A.
No,
Yeah,
so do I,
yeah.
but aren't they everywhere at this point or no?
No, not out west here. Nope.
What do you have? You have Popeye?
We have Popeyes. We have the Colonel, the KFC.
Yeah.
So Chick-fil-A, definitely. Do like my Chick-fil-A?
Oh yeah, spicy chicken sandwich. Hard to beat
Yeah.
that. Extra pickles if you're feeling a little randy like I am after the cowboy hat
That.
texting back and forth with my wife. Should I check and see if she sent anything else? No, we'll save that. We do have some other fun news. The IDC tracker came out last night on worldwide server tracker for the converged systems market, which is a mouthful. But of course, Dell is trumpeting their success. They're just really steamrolling the competition at this point when it comes to converged systems and specifically the hyperconverged systems. They're 3Q19 market share is 35.1%, which is up over the same quarter last year, and a 42.6% jump in revenue, which is pretty amazing. Cisco saw a decent gain in market share and about 40% in revenue. Lenovo with the biggest revenue growth of 55.6%. Everything's looking really good for everyone except one. Take a guess.
I would probably say Nutanix.
I hate to say it, but NetApp.
Well, so here's the thing with NetApp. They don't qualify for the HCI thing. They're a disaggregated HCI, although I don't know how IDC counts it. That's how Gartner does, I believe, because you can scale NetApp HCI storage and compute independently, which doesn't seem that radical, but it's radical enough to not be considered HCI by some, by many, perhaps. Yes, Kevin is correct. Nutanix did take a bit of a hit going from 16.6% market share in 3Q18 down to 13 in 3Q19. I don't know. It's just a wildly competitive space. I'm honestly surprised to see Cisco grow as much as they have with that SpringPath solution. It's not something that we've looked at. They haven't really wanted us to look at it, so I just don't know much about it. The Lenovo growth is a little less surprising to me. They've worked hard to partner with a number of software solutions, including Scale Computing, who we've mentioned, Pivot3. They're the, I believe, are they the only other ones other than Dell to have a vSAN appliance?
Yeah,
I think HP might have been considering it, but they've got an appliance. They've got integrations with Veeam. They've got a lot of other software support, DataCore, probably others I'm forgetting. But Lenovo seems quite serious about leveraging their server business to attack mainstream enterprise.
they've been doing really well.
Tom, you've got another update for us. Control Up. What's going on there? Tell us a little bit about the company and what the update is.
Control Up's been around for about 9 years, and they really have kind of a cult-like following in with the Citrix people. It's an end-to-end monitoring solution. It really is pretty cool because you can look at your infrastructure, take a look at how well your ESX hosts are doing, your Xen host, your Hyper-V host, all the way down to taking a look at the processes in your virtual desktop. And which is cool, kind of table stakes, but then they take it a little bit further. they're trying to gear towards, I think, self-management, self-correction, because you can run scripts on any of these objects, PowerShell scripts on it. And you can have triggers that automatically run the scripts if need be. And we got a chance to get a look at their preview software, 8.1, where they're starting to embrace Horizon. So I got a chance to play around with that and was pretty impressed with it. Seems to do all the right things. They do some stuff with storage. It's all data store, more or less. But the metrics, it's damn near real time. It gets new metrics every 3 seconds, so you can do real time monitoring. And then they do something else that's a little bit unique, is they take all these metrics and shoot them up to their cloud, and so you can go to their cloud and take a look at your metrics for the past year and kind of spot trends that way. So I got a chance to play around with it on some thin clients, and hoping that I can use that to quantify some of the results we do with these VDI clients, because that's been one of the problems we have, is it's more user experience, and, you know, can we play videos with them and things like that. So hopefully we'll get some numbers that we can include in those write-ups.
That would be useful, and I know we're working with NVIDIA on that too, with some of their tools that look pretty spectacular in terms of measuring and quantifying the pixels on some of these high-end workloads to see, you know, what the user experience is like, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I got a chance to chat a little bit about that, and I guess one of the things they're doing is they're mounting a camera that you can mount to a monitor. And so you can actually, they call it, you know, a photon, you know, measure the photon, measure actually how quick things change, using kind of like a spider, you know, how you, when you used to do the monitoring.
Yeah, the collaboration or calibration, right?
Yeah, but they use it just to tell how quickly the pixels themselves render. So, yeah, I hope they NVIDIA can come out with that, and that'd be fantastic.
So I tease the I don't know if it was the best part of my trip, but that spicy chicken was damn good. Did get a lot accomplished out in Denver. One of the fun things, and we haven't connected with them in a while, was with a visit with Spectralogic, who is just, they're just killing it, and they're doing it in the most quiet possible way. They're just sort of out there. They're one of the last guys selling tape libraries, which seems to be making a comeback after going a little quiet the last couple of years. They've got their Black Pearl arrays, which are, you know, they're NAS. They've got a unified object option there too, which is pretty cool. And now they're working on some data movers to help people balance their big filer data across local, cloud, other NAS. So they've got a lot of good things going on. We should be doing some more with Spectra soon, hopefully. Stop by Faction in downtown Denver. They've got a great office there on the 16th floor, great view of the eastern part of the city. We've been working with Faction and Dell EMC on a DRAS project for Unity XT, and it's been pretty cool. We're supposed to fail actually soon, aren't we?
Yeah.
Are we having an unexpected failure or a failure that we know about?
I'll probably just be disconnecting some cables myself versus tripping over cables.
Yeah. Disconnecting cables is what's your preferred method of shutting down, say, $250,000 all flash array?
I set my PDU to off and just trigger the ports off.
That's the gentle way. Sometimes you reach behind it not so lovingly and just yank the cables.
Well, there was one that my release tabs broke off, and I had to get the thing out for pictures, and I had to take a wire cutter to the network cables. So.
Oh, great. This is the kind of stuff that you get on the podcast.
Hey, so it's Spectralogix. Did they do the Iceberg tape library that was in, I think it was in a Mission Impossible movie? Do you know what I'm talking about? Spectralogix, or was that Storage Tech?
It depends on when it was, but, you know, it could be either. I don't recall that one. You know, when I'm watching those movies, it's hard to take your eyes off of Tom Cruise, honestly.
He, you know, has anyone aged better than him? I don't know what it is.
I don't want to alienate our Scientology audience, but there's probably something to do with that.
being a 7-level whatever. Let's
Yeah,
see.
so
What have you ever seen a Tom Cruise movie where he has either not sprinted, slow motion sprinting, or rode a motorcycle? Has there ever been one?
what about when he was that vampire? What was that one?
Oh, that was good. Vampire Lestat. Who else was in that? Two other big name stars that were in that.
Did he ride a motorcycle in that movie that took place in Cincinnati with Dustin Hoffman?
Rain Man?
Rain Man. I don't think there was a motorcycle in Rain Man.
No, I don't. Th
He might have eaten spaghetti slowly at the Italian place in Kentucky
Yeah.
or wherever that was. All right, well, this is
Wait, wait.
exciting.
Interview with a Vampire is the
Yes.
Tom Cruise one you're talking
You
about.
said name one. I got one.
Yeah, no. Who were the other two actors in it?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even see that thing.
I don't know if they've aged well or not.
Brad Pitt was in it, and a very young, oh, crap. Who? She was in Bring It On.
Kirsten Dunst.
Wait, you're talking
Yeah,
about
Christine Dunst.
you're you're wait, wait, you're bringing up vampire movies and high school cheerleading movies in the same breath.
Absolutely.
So are you
Buffy the
trying to say
Vampire
that
Slayer, perhaps one of the best movies ever made.
maybe
Buffy.
they're all vampires and that's why they haven't aged?
Ooh, maybe Tom is a vampire.
He really is. I've never seen him out during the day.
Speaking of movies, I caught Knives Out this past weekend. Have you guys seen that or know about that?
I've heard of it. I've seen the trailers. It looks pretty good.
Got a nomination, if I'm not mistaken, for Best Picture Golden Globes, and there's a lot of talk that it'll be up for Best Picture for the Oscars too. Daniel Craig's this sort of
He
oddball
has
investigator. It's a good movie. It's in the vein of, as everyone says, they actually even make a little Clue joke, but it's got a little Clue in it. It's got a little Murder on the Orient Express, and they say in the notes it's a Agatha Christie kind of throwback kind of thing. It's good. It's fun. The girl that plays the caregiver to the father and grandfather is really strong. I did go with a southerner though, and he was outraged over Daniel Craig's southern accent.
I was
It's
going to ask you about that. Keep
yeah,
me
a
informed.
lot of people are calling it the Foghorn Leghorn accent, which is not a positive review. The
It's
movie itself was great.
talking about movies. This week I was thinking about my favorite dance movies of the last couple decades. I'm going
Why?
to list five here, and
Why?
I want you to give them a power ranking, okay?
Oh gosh.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay. La La Land. Do you see that?
Yeah. Carry on.
Okay. Black Swan.
Oh gosh.
Okay, you saw that.
I'm aware of it.
Magic Mike. You saw that, right?
I
It's on your
didn't, but
laptop.
Kevin has it
Did
on Steelbox.
I think they're wearing cowboy hats in that.
Ooh.
If that's that was the connection.
I've got
And maybe
another
your
use for
wife
the
makes that
cowboy hat.
connection too.
Yeah, I might need to hit the gym a couple more times, but I'm going to
Yeah.
work on
Let's
it.
see. The paint on
They
six packs.
Ooh. Can you do that? Do
You
they
could.
have like those static stickers like you put on a glass window, like a Halloween decorations or whatever?
You could get that fake tattoo stuff, henna or what?
Henna.
Yeah, henna.
That just for the lines to
Yeah.
make I'm pretty sure it would look more like sausages. I'm not sure
Okay,
that
and the
would work.
last two dance movies are The Joker and Silence of the Lambs, where
The
Buffalo
joke.
Bill does his little dance in front of the mirror.
Good Lord.
You've got a sick mind upon you. I didn't think of La La Land as a dance movie. It does have a lot of dance numbers in it for sure. Magic Mike, according to Kevin, he's more of a Magic Mike XL kind of guy, so I don't think he rates that one very highly.
Yeah.
Didn't see the
The
Joker.
Joker does a good dance scene in that. And Silence of the Lambs, you a Silence of the Lambs fan?
Well, I'm well aware of that. I don't really care for your ranking opportunities here, but I guess I'd have to put La La Land up there. It was a pretty darn good movie. I didn't care for the very end. Thought they could have done that a little cleaner, but otherwise.
Okay.
Well, thanks for that interlude. We've got other really important things to talk about, though. In Colorado, I'd rented an SUV because I had fear of snow, and they didn't have my car, but they did have an upgrade for me, A Cadillac.
Was it a minivan?
No. Remember that? We got an upgraded minivan one time, and it was not an upgrade. XT5 Cadillac. Their little SUV, dude. Like a crossover thing. 3,000 miles on it. Relatively new. Wasn't super clean, so Hertz is going to have to work on that. But anyway, every time I'm in one of these cars, a new car, you rent a car, you don't really know how everything works, and I'm driving along the highway, and a red light flashes on the dash because I was getting close to another car in front of me, which is fine. What Cadillac does, and I don't know if they do it in all their models, but the seat vibrates on your ass. So it's, and it's not like a gentle, subtle vibration. It's like it's trying to get in you. It's really strange the way it works. I don't know if you've experienced a seat trying to penetrate you before.
No, that's something that would probably terrify me to the point where I'd crash into the car next to me.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's highly distracting. So I went in the settings and tried to turn it higher, but I couldn't find the
So what sets off this vibrating butt seat?
Near impact. So while you're getting too close or going too fast to the car in front of you, it vibrates your ass.
Are you trying to say you're a bad driver and you're tailgating? Or?
All I know is that I had a lot of ass vibration going on from this XT5. And
so what'd you think of the car overall? Because Cadillac kind of got their act together. They seem to be doing pretty dang good.
The tech is strong. The car rides nice. It's not fast. It's a little sluggy if you really want it to go. I think it's only got a little four-cylinder in it probably for mileage things. But best ass vibration by far that I've ever seen. So that's a net plus if you ask me.
How was the? Was it nice and quiet inside?
It was, yeah. You thinking about one?
You know, I have always liked Cadillacs. I really have. So yeah, that's
probably from all those '80s movies where all the gangsters drove those big fat caddies around.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Get the stash going in the Cadillac, gold chains, cowboy hat,
cowboy. Are you aware of the Naked Cowboy? Do you guys know the Naked Cowboy?
Yeah, at Times Square.
He's been at Times Square, but he's got a Cincinnati connection. He's been here. He shows up to some of the food festivals and things. It's a little strange. I do have some other Cincinnati news that's very important. I told you about Procter & Gamble arresting Santa last time.
Is Santa free?
I don't know. What happens to Santa in prison? Like they say, you know, like if you do something bad to kids and you go to jail, that's not a good jam for you, right? If you're Jeffrey Epstein and have a lot of dirt on people, that's also a bad jam. Tom, what do you think Santa's reception is in prison?
I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about. Yeah, do you think he has elves? Maybe, I don't know.
Well, elves were there. I don't know if they were arrested. And if you arrest the elves and Santa, do you have to split them up? Do they start their own little Santa gang? I don't.
You don't want to mess with the Christmas boys.
I think Santa has some pretty good protection in jail, though.
You think
he has pretty good protection. I mean, it's everyone knows and loves Santa. No one's going to hurt Santa.
You think Santa goes in and finds the biggest, baddest dude in jail and just punches him? Yeah, I mean, that's what they say you're supposed to do. I've never been. So anyway, in early October, we had a 1,200-foot tow and barge full of rock, sand, and gravel that smashed into a club in Marina and destroyed the club and Marina and boats. And they finally released yesterday the reason of this. And it says the causal factors included the mate on watch falling asleep while at the controls, thereby failing to maintain proper watch as the vessel was underway upbound on the Ohio River at mile marker 474. Officials said two additional deckhands were on the vessel at the time, but not assigned to navigation duties. Now, I've never navigated a barge up a river before.
It's probably boring.
One guy is in charge of not falling asleep, and he fell asleep. Yeah. And what are the other two dudes doing, do you think, in this scenario?
Probably watching Netflix. Probably still watching That Magic new Mike? Mafia movie.
Oh, so many hours. You think Netflix is to blame because the Mafia movie, The Irishman, or Irishman, as you like to say, was too long?
Was it plain at the time that, was it released at that time? Or?
Yeah, see, your theory goes straight out the window. This was October 2nd.
It'll still probably Netflix, really. They're probably going through some seasons.
So two dudes are watching Netflix, possibly porn, in the bowels of a barge, or as a tug, as he's pushing 1,200 feet of rock, sand, and gravel upriver, falls asleep, and just destroys this club and boats and marina.
Yeah, I feel there should be a dead man switch of some sort.
If you're going too straight, too slow, upriver full of rock, like what would
trigger? Why don't they talk to Cadillac and get one of those vibrating butt
seats? God damn it. If that guy had the vibrating ass seat, if he had gotten too close, Tom, we're onto something here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cadillac should license the vibrating ass to the company that makes the semen seats for tugs. Yeah. We're solving world problems here. This is getting a little long. Let's wrap this up. We've got...
Hey, wait. Got a couple things.
Yes, go ahead.
Don't you even think about wrapping it up yet, my friend.
What?
Just got done reviewing the Atrust S101 server. It's a tiny server. It's a 7 inches by 7 inches by 3. It has a Xeon E3 processor in it, 32 gig of RAM. Dual disks with onboard RAID. And so it has the Xeon processor where the Intel Nukes have the core processors on them. I don't think they have any with the Xeon yet. So what's the use case for this guy? Any thoughts?
A lot of edge ideas popping up. It seems to be the place where there's quite a bit of innovation now as people try to figure out what kind of classes of edge solutions are there. There's a VxRail appliance, which would be kind of a more enterprise-y solution, but not every edge needs something quite that beefy.
Yeah. And with the Xeon, I guess you're getting like the ECC memory. What else you get with the Xeon over the core? It supports more RAM. But
higher RAM, or probably larger RAM quantity.
They only had 4 slots and said it only supported 32. So
you're on to a solution looking for a problem, huh?
I'm on to a product looking for a problem, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that, I think. But there's also a lot of different needs, and I'm sure someone will find a good use for that.
Okay.
You're working on that now?
Just wrapping up. Have a few questions out to Atrust about the device. Couldn't find some information on it, like the MSRP on it, things like that.
That's one of the hard parts of dealing with someone that doesn't have a big U.S. presence, right?
Yeah. I mean, they make good products. We've really enjoyed their thin clients. But yeah, you're right. That is an issue.
Speaking of things just about out, the A800 review of NVMe over Fabrics will have been out by the time we drop this podcast.
Yes.
You teased that coming for the last 6 months.
Yes, it's nearly here. It will be.
Well, it will be here by the time we publish this. What were your key thoughts on the maturity of Fabrics and what NetApp's doing?
I think the NetApp approach is pretty nice. The other solutions that we've seen, or even one of the other NetApp solutions, it's geared towards doing one or the other. The 800 can do it all at the same time. So you can run traditional FCP and NVMe over Fabric on the same ports at the same time, alongside doing iSCSI or SIFS or NFS. And they see it as not really a we can do it too. They're looking at it as businesses mature and move on to that format, they're already ready and they can do it as well as they can do any other format.
So you're saying it's the Magic mic of dance movies?
Yes.
Okay.
So talking about that, people running Fabric, because I looked into NVMe OF, spent a little bit of time looking at that. So data centers are running Fabric, hyperscalers are running TCP. Does that make sense to you guys?
Well, it's a pretty it's a new enough market where there are enough standardizations at the moment that there isn't really any standardization. So you'll have different people go off in the direction that makes sense for them versus trying to adopt one specific form. So,
well, the one thing we're not seeing from hyperscalers down is they're definitely in a separate class, and the way they run data centers is not necessarily compatible with how the enterprise wants to run data centers. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy there. But then you've got the push on the other side from the app developers that are really getting an increasing control over IT spend and IT direction, and they want a different set of tools and care less about the components behind them. I think at one point, though, and I've had this conversation with a number of people, I think at one point the large enterprise is going to end up on a services-based scenario where they care less about the components and more about the deliverables. So if there's several tiers of identifiable workloads, to be able to allocate resources to each of those without really worrying about, you know, how many servers do I have, or how are they connected, or what's the RAM, or what's the storage, or that those kinds of things. It's that IT vendors are going to have to do a better job of putting together packages of hardware that will be able to scale however that business needs to meet those workload objectives. And Fabrics is part of that. You know, it's an integration point, but it's just like a lot of storage admins or IT guys get locked in on terms like NVMe. They'll beat you up if you don't support NVMe in your storage array, but still couldn't really tell you why they need NVMe. I mean, NVMe can be faster, but it's a plug, and it's an interface, and it's a way of communication. It doesn't mean fast. It can be fast. It often is fast, but it's conceivable that you could put QLC on an NVMe drive, and they're doing that. They're going for these super high capacity drives that are NVMe interface, but not necessarily targeted to high speed workloads. So I do just think it's important to not get wrapped up so much in the technology. We think it's neat as practitioners, as users of this thing, but really looking at, to Kevin's point, with the A800 is solving the business problems that are there.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, last thing is, how's our plans for our Utah trip, our storage trip to Utah coming along? I decided we should do that, maybe go visit Fusion.io.
You in the Wayback Machine?
And while we're there, we could go visit the NSA has a huge facility out there.
Yeah, I don't think they do tours of that one. I think you and Kevin are just angling for a snowboarding trip.
Yeah, well, you know, you could drop your name.
Probably be waterboarding if we made our way too close to that thing.
Yeah.
So question
Kevin,
about
Kevin
that.
Would not last long in a torture scenario.
Oh, he'd rat you out.
Oh,
so
my
fast.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I'll tell you everything you want to know. Here are the passwords and everything, even though I can't remember them because I don't
I
write
can't
them down
remember
anywhere.
Remember them. Stop torturing me.
Yeah. So the NSA out there in Salt Lake City, it's kind of shaped like a jelly bean. Is there any reason why it'd be curved like that? If you take a look at it, they got like half a dozen buildings in there in a kind of a semicircle. Can you think of why it'd be that rather than...
Are you making a penis joke?
In a grid? No.
I have no idea. Because
normally that would be your MO. I was just trying to
absolutely.
Get to the joke.
Absolutely.
No, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I thought they blocked that out of most of the maps, though, didn't they?
Nah, Google Map is showing it. They got rid of the reviews on it, though. There were some pretty classic reviews that people were giving it on Google Maps, but they got rid of those.
Yeah, some one-star ratings, probably.
Well, some 5 stars, you know. I needed back. They were more willing to supply me with everything that was on my computer.
Fantastic. For all of your crimes thought and undone, they're ready to run you down.
Yeah, that was another good Tom Cruise movie, Pre-Crimes.
Yeah. Yeah, we took that dude's eyeball out to sneak into the center. That was pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Philip K. Dick novel, yeah.
All right, we're going to cut this crap off. We're getting to the end of my patience with both of you.
All right, Are we going to have another one before Christmas, or is this it for the year?
No, we'll do a pre-Christmas one on the 20th. If you don't have Star Wars plans, which I do, but we'll drop one in the morning and see what else happens. Adam will give us an update on the IT press tour. Tom will be full of more nonsense. Kevin will have broken more things. If you want to find us, we are at Storage Review on Twitter or Instagram now. We're taking really sexy photos. Oh, we should put the hat up on Instagram.
Yes.
All right. If that's not done already, the hat will be on Instagram. Email us at info@storagereview.com and hit us on our new subreddit, /r/storagereview. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.